Hey there, warriors. Hope you're having an awesome day, wherever you are, whatever time it is that you're listening to this episode. Somebody actually gave me a suggestion on a podcast episode, and what she was talking about is just the physical toll that it takes on, and specifically for her, being the mother of someone in addiction. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about this. We're going to discuss how you have got to stop self-destructing in the name of love, because that's what it's all about. We're not sitting here trying to self-destruct. We're not trying to have our physical bodies fall apart and all of the mental and emotional and even spiritual trauma that comes from something like having a loved one in addiction, and especially when it's a child. That just adds a whole nother layer and dimension. I can imagine. I haven't had other family members in addiction like this. I only have a child, but we all know that we feel our children so deeply. We feel their pains. You know, I mean, it's funny how we say, our parents probably said this to us and we have thought, yeah, whatever. And then I remember saying it to my own kids, saying, this hurts me as much as you. You know, when they weren't allowed to go somewhere, you had to do that tough love thing. But it really does hurt us. We feel their pain. And then, of course, depending on what type of personality you are, some of us have a high degree of empathy. And then it's even worse, because we don't just sympathize. We don't just imagine. We don't just feel sad about something or someone. We actually take it on. We feel it. And it can be a good thing, but it can also be so destructive. I don't feel like I was this super controlling type of a person necessarily. I mean, in certain ways, yes. And I think for me, my childhood was kind of chaotic. And so I tried to control my environment, maybe not others so much, but my environment. And then when you have something like addiction hit your life, and it's just all hell breaks loose, and you have zero control. It's not only does it kind of put your world, tilt your world on its axis, but it leaves you wondering about yourself as a human being. And really, it takes a toll on us, like I said earlier, not just emotionally and spiritually, like that's not bad enough, right? And mentally, but all of that winds up affecting us even physically. And unfortunately, we can't really see a direct correlation between stress and our physical ailments. But I wish we could. I wish we could really literally map the path of that type of stress and what it's doing to us at a cellular level, what it is doing to our physical bodies. For me, I started out with a tumor when I was like about 29 years old. I had a tumor in my thyroid gland, and it turned out to be benign, but still it can't be there. It was a hot nodule and it was causing me to be massively overactive, which the good news was I lost a lot of weight. The bad news was you can't have your hands shaking and your heart pumping out of your chest. So I had to end up doing radioactive iodine to kill basically my thyroid gland. So I was left without that. And yeah, they give you replacement medication, but it's not the same as your thyroid functioning properly. And so that has affected me already anyway, because that affects your metabolism, you know, your energy. It's a very important gland and it's impacted me. And especially as I've gotten older, whoa, man. I mean, literally I looked down one day and there was this growth on my belly. I looked down and went, my gosh, where did all this blubber come from? I mean, literally, I've been doing everything the same, and it seemed like overnight, my metabolism just shut off. And then just the fatigue that I've experienced for really about 20 years, just the fatigue constant. And then I had a doctor tell me I had adrenal fatigue. So this is your adrenals just being overactive, right? And that's your fight or flight. That's what has you running at superhuman speed when you're in danger. Or you've heard stories of people picking up, you know, the end of a car to save a child. And then later on they go and they can't even budge the car right? The next day they go and try it again. It's that adrenaline rushing through your body, and it can be such a good thing, but not when it's rushing through your body 24/7. And that's what happened to me, and I'm sure that's what's happening to a lot of you too. You're just wiped out. So, I mean, we are already dealing with, by the time we get to be in around my age, if you're anywhere close to my age, or even into your early 50s, we can have that adrenal fatigue. We can have sleep issues. My sleep issues are out of control. So this person that recommended I do a topic on this subject of what this does to us physically, she said that she's had a couple of falls recently. And she contributes it. She attributes it. So somebody told me recently that they had a couple of falls. And I'm not talking about an old person. I'm talking about someone probably my age. And she said she's sure it had something to do with this addiction journey that she's on with her son or daughter. And I get it. I'm glad that she can recognize that. Because as I said earlier, we don't correlate a specific, you know, the result of what's going on with us. And maybe if we could, we would do something about it. But we have to first back up. I wish I could do the sound effects. I do that, like back up, backing up the tape here. Because first of all, we have to recognize that, hey, it's almost impossible, at least in the beginning, to not try to save your son or daughter who's on this addiction journey. First of all, you're in absolute shock. Second of all, you're in disbelief, right? I mean, at least this is what happened to me. Shock, disbelief. And initially, I didn't even know what was going on. I could not figure out why the smartest, most gifted person I knew was doing the stupidest things. And we didn't find evidence of drugs or anything. But I mean, for like 3 years, she's going off the rails. She quit school. I mean, you could read Still Standing After All the Tears and read more about Jamie's story and her journey and just really only a partial. I didn't give you all of it because it would have been just too much. Plus, if you're living this, you don't need to hear all my stuff. You're living your own. And so anyways, here she is just crashing and she's with this terrible guy. We can't get her away from him. And she finally breaks up with him, but then she's somewhere where he ends up shooting her. And it's a near fatal gunshot wound. I mean, it really was a miracle that she survived it. And I'm sitting there in disbelief, right? Just like you've been in so many situations and you're sitting there in disbelief going, WTF, right? How can this be my life? And so much went on in that 3 year period. And each time I thought, my gosh, it can't get worse. This is unbelievable. I can't take much more. And it's stressing me out. And now she's been shot. And then she made her way right back into that world. After we slept together for 40 nights with the light on, my daughter, who'd never been afraid of the dark a day in her life, was suddenly scared. And I slept with her and I thought, this is it. This is the bond, the connection. Boom, she made her way right back into that world. Well, come to find out later, she had become addicted to the opiates that they gave her in the hospital. And so if you just think about all this is going on, all this is going on with my beloved daughter, my only daughter, my first child, the first person that I ever really loved in that way. It was when I knew true love, when Jamie was born. Before that, I really didn't. I really didn't understand that deep love. And so, you know, this is, of course, it's going to rock your world. I mean, it's like all hell has broken loose. You're on the roller coaster from hell and you just don't see the stop and you can't control it. You can't fix it. And what you want more than anything in the world is to fix that. And so you pour everything you have into this. And at every turn and everything you try and everything you say and everything you do, nothing works. And then it gets worse. Now, let me say, though, that for some people, it does work the first time, maybe the second time. For some people, you know, you go into that save mode and for whatever reason, the person is ready. It's not because you saved them, okay? I'm sorry, an adult has to be ready for them to make a change. They have to be willing to do the work. Obviously, we can stand with people and we should to whatever degree you think. I'm not judging anyone who does or doesn't stand with someone because I get it. But we can't make anyone do anything. And everybody kind of comes to this conclusion at some point in their life in some type of relationship. But when it's your kids, no matter how old they are, you feel like not only should you be able to, but it's your job to. And if you can't, you're an absolute abject failure. And that, so you've got worry. You feel like a loser, a failure. You've let everybody down. You're completely stressed. You're living in paralyzing fear. You're heartbroken. You're disappointed. You're living with so much guilt, even though most of it is unfounded, if not all of it. You've got shame. You don't understand. You're confused. You feel helpless, and you start to feel hopeless. My faith has been shaken so many times on this journey. It's also been strengthened. But man, it's been a ride, my friend. So how in the world can all of this not affect our health? It's impossible for it not to. And as we get older, guess what? So do parents. A lot of us have a parent or more than one parent still alive that need us. And we're so wiped out, we can barely be there for ourselves. So what's happening is that we are literally self-destructing. We don't mean to. We're not trying to self-destruct. But it's happening. That is what is happening. And then you say, well, Valerie, how can I not? This is my child. Or perhaps it's someone else in your life that you're so close to, you love so much. I get it. I understand. But let me ask you this. What good is it if you both go down? Not to mention, it's not working, right? It's not helping. If it were helping, we could have a different discussion. But saving somebody is probably not working. I used to say to Jamie all the time, every time you choose life, notice that? You choose life. I will stand with you. Now, by the way, this took years for me to get there. I mean, I tried to save her. I did all sorts of stuff I had no business doing in the name of love, in the name of saving her. You know, and really, I was helping her stay in her addiction. And who knows if it would have been different if I had pulled back and been less codependent or not codependent at all sooner. I don't know. No one has a crystal ball. I don't know what would have happened. But I do know that it was just stressing me out, but I felt responsible, like it was my problem to fix. And of course, there's the what if. What if I don't fix this? What if I don't save her? What if I don't come to her rescue again? What if I don't believe her again when I know I shouldn't? What if? Then what will happen? Oh, she might lose her car. Well, guess what? She lost her car anyway. Well, then she might lose her apartment. She lost many apartments anyway, you know, along with my deposit money and how many rent payments I made. And same with the car and insurance. You know, and what if I don't, then this might happen. And it happened anyway, even though I was doing all that. And all the while, it's affecting me. It's affecting my marriage. It's affecting how I feel about myself as a human being. It's affecting how I wasn't there as much for Sean as I should be, my other child. And, you know, and I had a lot of guilt to go with that. You can't live in this state of constant stress, this level of stress, right? I mean, everybody has stress. Stress is a part of life. So for those of us, though, that are walking this addiction journey with someone we love, and especially a child, not only do we have life's normal stress. It's not like we don't have to have all the other stress because we have this big one. We have the other stresses of life along with this. And you know, you can only take so much. You know, I mean, let's face it. We're dying from the day we're born. I mean, we're literally just, you know, especially the older we get, it's like we're falling apart anyway here, right? Nobody's getting out of this thing alive, but we're compounding all the problems with this stress. You know, and we can't be everybody's savior. And I don't know what your personality is, but mine for sure is that I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I don't want people to come and save me. I want to help them. I want to be the one that helps other people. And that can be really devastating to you if you're like that to, you know, a degree that is unhealthy. You know, so... During my journey of 15 years in Jamie's addiction, and now almost 8 years since her murder, I've lost my stepdad, who is, for all intents and purposes, my dad. My biological father hasn't spoken to me in over 20 years. And my Rich's mom, my husband, his mom, you know, and He was an only child because he lost his brother, by the way. His brother died. You may have heard that on a recent episode where he and I talked, and he mentioned that we had a friend steal our savings. That was 2 months before Jamie was murdered. We had my cat died, and you know, I know that sounds like, okay, it's just a cat, but this cat knew me. I mean, this cat looked at me like it was in love. Like he was the best thing. And he helped me through so many tears and times of being by myself and just trying to hide from the rest of the world, you know, and he died, and that was hard. And all sorts of other life situations have happened along the way, and I haven't had the energy to deal with it like I would have had I not been so affected by Jamie's addiction. And so I think what happens sometimes is that we kind of mistake some of this stuff. Well, I'm just getting older. This happens. But what if you're exercising, you're doing the right things, and you're, you know, eating right. And by the way, you don't even eat right. You end up kind of putting all that, you know, to the side when you're stressed out. I don't know about you, but when I'm stressed out, I tend to eat more and I eat the wrong things. And then when I'm tired, I do the same thing, and it's a vicious circle. And so obviously you can't completely stop worrying. You can't completely, you know, walk away from this situation. You wouldn't even want to. This is someone you love. But here's the thing. Let me just give you a couple things that might help. And again, I don't tell people what to do with their loved one in addiction because every situation is completely different. And if I had all the answers, then, you know, my situation would probably have wound up to be different. But let me give you a couple things that might be good for you to think about. And the first one is, like I said before, it's no good if you compound an already devastating situation by you self-destructing. Another thing I want you to think about is your value. So we, as moms especially, we go, oh, but you know, my child is more valuable than me. Eh, not really. Okay, maybe to you, but it's not all about you. It's not all about me. You are somebody's child. Oh, my parents are gone. Doesn't matter. You're still somebody's child that felt the same way about you. And even if you didn't have parents that felt that way, you know, maybe you got ripped off in the parent department like I did with my biological father. But you are God's child. You're valuable to him. You are just as valuable to him. I want you to get this down deep into your soul. You are just as valuable to God as your child is. It doesn't matter how you feel or what your viewpoint is. That's the bottom line. He doesn't have your child up on a pedestal above you. You are valuable, and you are here to be more than a mother. Yes, that's an important role, but my friend, you're done with that role. Okay? I mean, really, how long are we supposed to be parenting? Our kids are in their 30s, 40s, and people are still running around parenting? Come on. The job was to equip them. You equipped them. The fact that they wound up in addiction is awful and sad, and so many other adjectives I could add to this. You already know them all. It is. But your parenting is done. Yeah, there's times when you'll stand with them. There are times when they're going to need your guidance. You know, and this thing is, you know, it's an up and down and in and out situation. If you have someone in addiction, maybe you've lost your child through addiction, or maybe it's through a different way. Then you don't have all the other stuff I'm talking about. Okay, well, the stress is over. Not really. You got to live with a hole in your heart. You got to figure out how to manage that hole in your heart, how to embrace it and give it what it needs and not let it swallow you up. So it's so important. And I think people, and especially even believers, think, well, we shouldn't think about ourselves or improve ourselves, you know, because that takes our focus away from God. Really, we're made in God's image. We are supposed to be here making a difference. We are supposed to be here living out a purpose. You can't do anything if you're completely distraught. If you're crying, rolled up in a ball, you've, you know, taken yourself away from life. And let me tell you something, even me, the strong warrior that I am, you probably listened to a recent podcast that I talked about, even the strongest of warriors, we want to quit. I went through a very difficult time. Anytime that I gear up and really go for it, my beast comes at me and he goes and just gives me a sucker punch. You know, and when you're exhausted and you get the sucker punch, it's easy to stay down. My friend, there is no easy way through any of this. Nobody has the, these are the steps and you'll be fine. You're not going to be fine. You're not going to be fine all the time, but you can learn to live with a hole in your heart, because even if your child is still here, you have a hole in your heart. It's been shattered into a million pieces. You're trying to put back the pieces. That's what I talked about in my book, Still Standing After All the Tears. That's the subtitle, Putting Back the Pieces After All Hell Breaks Loose. But you can do it. You can make yourself stronger. You can become more courageous. You can find some peace. You can shed shame and guilt. You can do all of that if you're willing to do the work. And you might right now feel like, well, I'm so tired. You know, I've got these physical ailments and mental exhaustion and all that. And I don't have a lot to fight. Well, you're going to get worse if you don't. So it's really your choice. You've got to start working on some things that change your mindset. And that's why I created Warriors in Hope, and specifically the sisterhood, so that we could link arms and come together and use the 9 weapons of hope. So even if you have like one little nugget, when you start to go down, right? When you start to go into the black hole, you know, you got to have a nugget. You got to have something that can change, flip your mindset, or even a physical habit, something you can do in that moment. Like my disruptor word, that's really powerful. Because if we don't start taking care of ourselves, then we're robbing everybody else of more than just the person that's already battling that vicious addiction beast. I'm here to tell you that your beast is just as vicious. As a matter of fact, it might be even more vicious. I don't like to compare beasts, but I say that because this one gets you in the heart. It gets you in that place where this is the most important thing to you, right? When you think about it, when that guy stole our savings, which is devastating to us. I mean, we're trying to build businesses. We've had struggles with, you know, all sorts of things financially for us, even though we, you know, we're really hard working people with high integrity, whatever. Some people go through these situations, but that wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was my role as a mom. And that was called into question by my beast. And so that's going to happen. That's why we have to fight harder. If you don't think that you're strong enough for this, you're wrong, because you are. If I'm strong enough, then you are too. You just have to keep getting back up. Get some tools, get some resources, and importantly, link arms with the right kind of people that have a similar mindset, that are wanting to fight, that are wanting to take whatever they've been through and turn it into good. Use it for something good. I hope that's you, because you're not alone. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, link arms with me, because together we can stand through anything.